Christ is risen. Alleluia. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. First of all, I'd like to begin by apologizing for misleading you in this worship service. The hymns that were chosen are indeed three traditional Easter hymns, and the presentation for you emphasize that triumphal playing of organ, trumpets, timpanis, cymbals, and exuberant singing. But what that might have done is simply raised nostalgia for how we used to celebrate Easter Sunday. There is no question that this Easter will be different. Very different. Unlike any Easter Sunday in the memory of any of our members, the church will be empty, not filled by the people of St. David's Trinity and King of Glory, the people that we had hoped we could join for an Easter celebration. There will not even be gatherings of any meaningful side. Our people will be feeling isolated, unsure even of when we might go out again. And many of us might be anxious for our safety, for our health, for our lives, for our futures. And one may wonder what, if any, value Easter sermon words will have, what comfort they might bring, or whether it is worth bringing them at all. This Easter is very different, unlike any Easter celebration, certainly within my memory. But strikingly, this Easter will not be that different from the first Easter. After all, there were no crowds gathered to celebrate Jesus' resurrection, no festive music, no exuberant singing. Rather, what you find described on that first Easter is a very small gathering. In Matthew, two women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. And one might question whether two even constitutes a gathering. This incredibly small group, well under the current prescribed limits of 10 people per gathering, were the first witnesses to the resurrection, the first invited to worship the one who embraced death in order to defeat it. Similarly, the rest of the disciples lived in isolation and fear. Cloistered, we read according to John's Gospel, in a home where they had locked the doors out of fear for their safety. They were still reeling from the brutal heartache and loss they had experienced 2 days earlier, unsure of what the future held, unable to imagine their lives ever returning to normal. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? So this is the place to start, with how much more similar this Easter is we are experiencing to that first Easter than most, if not all, the celebrations we've been a part of Easter's past. The Easter word of hope and courage came first to people who did not take it for granted, who were mired in isolation and fear, worry and frustration, and could not imagine what life would now be like. stripped of its more regular trappings, traditions and rituals that we hold dear for many good reasons, this Easter may remind us that God has never promised that our worship services would always be grand, that our churches would overflow, that our economy will always be growing, that our health is guaranteed, or that our lives and future would unfold as we had hoped and planned. God, in and through the crucified and risen Christ, has never promised any of that. Rather, at the heart of the gospel is the promise that God is both with us and for us at all times and through all conditions. In sorrow or joy, triumph or tragedy, gain or loss, peace or fear, scarcity or plenty, God is present. Christ will lead us into a new way of life. But all this is the understanding and faith that comes from the final understanding of resurrection. What is that first moment of the resurrection? That moment focuses on that huge stone which has been marked with an official seal. The focus is on that stone, that obstacle, which prevents all access to Jesus. Think of the deep worries of these two women. What if we can't roll away the stone? What if it is too great an obstacle and we can't anoint Jesus as we planned? The dull ache of pain and the stubborn wrench of deep longing that will never be satisfied if the stone can't be rolled back, the obstacle removed. And what of our obstacles? When you lose a loved one, when a relationship implodes, when your dream evaporates, when you receive a devastating diagnosis, when your livelihood disappears, when this, when that, whenever. Each of us in the last 4 weeks has likely gone through moments of tremendous disappointment, and so we know firsthand that often the true low point of those experiences is likely not the actual and concrete event. The hardest days are usually the ones that come afterward, when the obstacles loom on the horizon, and in helplessness, frustration, worry, we come to the despairing conclusion that there is absolutely nothing we can do. These are the experiences that the first Easter moment speaks to. For they are the experiences of the two women ahead of Easter, struggling through the absolute uncertainty of what their next actions might possibly hold. What do we do now? Where do we go from here, given this obstacle? That last question seems particularly to be the case, not simply in our community, but across our nation and globe. We have adjusted to the immediate changes and restrictions required by the global pandemic, but live in the uncertainty of having no idea when life will return to normal, wondering what normal may even look like. We do not know how long we will shelter in place, how long we will suspend gathering together. But I suspect it will be longer than most of us initially imagined. And that leaves a dreadful and cold pit in our stomachs. We cannot assure our safety and are at constant risk and cannot even imagine a future absent our current and constant anxiety. While the two women are anxious about how they can accomplish their expected routine, God is neither absent nor inactive. God, in raising Jesus from the dead, removes the obstacles. The stone has been rolled away. And thus God is fashioning a new and open future that none on their way to the tomb could imagine. Perhaps at this time, when so many of us will likely encounter what feels like an ominous virus-induced obstacle, we might remember that first promise of Easter, that contrary to our experience of expectation, God is not finished yet. We might recall that God's favorite thing to do is to show up where we least expect God to be and to surprise those who have given up and so can no longer imagine what redemption and blessing and grace feel like. The promises that God is still at work, eager to surprise us and remove the obstacles that would seem to prevent access to the full promises of Christ. God rolled away the stone, not to let Christ out, but to let the women in, to let them have access to the experience of the risen Christ. The obstacle has been pushed aside. God allays the women's fears. The resurrection word cannot be heard when one focuses on the obstacles, when one lives in anxiety and fear because of the obstacles. Fear monopolizes attention. Fear paralyzes response. We see this in the guards. Matthew tells us they became like dead men. Fear screens out seeing an empty tomb and seeing only obstacles. Fear's noise drowns out our hearing of the gospel. That promise that Christ will lead us into a new way of life is heard when the obstacle is rolled away. But all this is the understanding and faith that comes from the final understanding of resurrection. That promise is twofold. In the cross, God promises that while always available to us, God meets us especially where we most need God. and often least expect to find God. In hardship, struggle, loss, and death. Because of the cross, no experience, no matter how difficult or awful, and no person, no matter how sinful or lost, is truly God-forsaken, because God is always where we most need God to be. And in the resurrection, God promises that all the harsh realities of this life, hardship, struggle, loss, fear, disease, hunger, death, these realities and obstacles, though painful they most certainly are, do not have the last word and do not block our access to God's grace and love and way of life. Rather, the resurrection promises that God's light is more powerful than darkness, that God's love is stronger than hate, and that the life God offers through Christ prevails over all things, even death itself. In light of the present circumstances and the way we prepare us to hear and experience Easter differently, perhaps a bit more like the original disciples, two phrases stood out to me. In Matthew, I am struck by the startling, unexpected word of the angels when they say, "He is not here." And also when Jesus appears to the two women and says to them, "Go tell my brothers, come away to Galilee." This Easter Sunday may not simply serve as herald to the empty tomb and promise of new life, but perhaps also remind us that even our beautifully decorated sanctuaries, our carefully crafted liturgies and hymns, and our joyous and Easter-dressed people cannot contain Jesus. He is always out ahead of us, inviting us to meet him in Galilee. Galilee, the place where Christ's ministry began. A ministry in the face of the need of our neighbor and in our care for one another and the world. Jesus is still not where we expect him to be, but rather is still inviting us to move forward and outward in faith, still promising to meet us up ahead, still reminding us that he will be with us always, even to the close of the age. At the heart of this story is the recognition that resurrection heralds not simply the defeat of death and promise of life, which are really, really big things, but also that God is accessible to us, that God will not abandon us, that God desires more than anything to be in relationship with us, that God continues to forgive us, call us brothers and sisters, and invite us to participate in the resurrection life of ministry. Perhaps you're wondering what value or meaning or significance your small words or actions can have in the wake of the fear and isolation and obstacles caused by this pandemic. But these words, Jesus is out ahead, calling us to life. Jesus knows us and loves us and calls us brothers and sisters. These are not insignificant things. Like the disciples of old, we may just hear them anew and find the faith and courage not simply to survive, but to flourish. And perhaps it's worth remembering that this small gathering of disciples, once they were called and named and sent by Jesus, changed the world. Which might just be what happens once again for us. Wherever this Sunday finds you as you journey to the tomb, know that you are in my prayers. Prayers for strength and confidence and courage in the face of these obstacles. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.